Antarctica, a continent of ice that can feed the entire planet. Antarctica, with 98% of its total volume frozen, possibly has the largest reserves of both sea and minerals on the entire planet. Also called the New El Dorado, it is dematerialized, and any kind of storage of nuclear materials is prohibited in its ice. Likewise, the flora and fauna of these lands are protected by a treaty, whose signatory members have already established a series of scientific bases for the study and research of the natural resources of Antarctica. In the chapter on food, it is estimated that its resources are certainly very valuable. For example, the exploitation of krill, belonging to the family of crustaceans, which, according to studies, could perfectly feed the entire Earth, since although its exploitation is little recognized, it seems that it could have a production of 100 to 150 million tons per year. As for the mineral resources of Antarctica, under a layer of sky of more than 2,000 meters, the main raw materials that humanity needs are concentrated in the depths of the sea that surround the continent, as well as in its adjacent seas. There is a great quantity of oil and cubic meters of natural gas, methane, etc. With all this, it must be said that one of the main seas that bathe the entire territory, the Weddell, is the one that holds the greatest quantity of living beings. El Cruo Cattle A Tilde Inverted Exclamation Mark N, Barcelona, AA May 5, 1982, page 18. Next headline, a small tribute to Miguel de Cervantes. The Golden Age. Don Quixote's speech to the goaters. Before giving the floor to Don Miguel de Cervantes, through the mouth of Don Quixote de la Mancha, let us underline a couple of things. The first is that we only know of one country where the famous novel of the illustrious one-handed man is little less than the bedside book of the vast majority of its inhabitants. Socialist Cuba. And the second, that it is here, precisely in Spain, the birthplace of the author and his main characters, and the setting of such long and instructive adventures, the place where those incomparable and unsurpassable life lessons signed and signed by the ingenious gentleman and his faithful and sagacious squire are least known. Often, speaking of our times, the modern era, and two steps away from the 21st century, already in the so-called technological era, we have come to the conclusion, with friends who share our concern about the incessant dehumanization of our, it is a fact that we are living in a world where the experiences of our children and grandchildren are the same, that of the terrestrial civilization, more specifically that imposed by the overdeveloped countries, must take a break and examine to what extent it should go back, take a good look at reality, and resume the march towards progress through unmistakably progressive paths. That is to say, those in which man's conscience is above everything, including his stomach. It is not a question of returning to the Stone Age, of course, but it is possible that one day not far away the man and woman of the Earth will be forced to take stock of the different ages known to our civilization and extract from them the positive things that each of those ages contained and, with the recovered materials and the most useful ones that we now have, compose that Golden Age, as Don Quixote called it, which could constitute the future goal of humanity. That in which, to put it in the words of the Knight of the Sorrowful Countenance, there was neither yours nor mine, but rather no one's, which is, in short, everyone's. Now let us look at the conversation that Don Quixote dedicated to the goatherds and which demonstrates, if it were still necessary, that the Golden Ages have always been, are, within the reach of the human being of the earth. And that to reach them it is enough to propose it, happy age and happy centuries those to which the ancients gave the name of gold, and not because in them gold, which in our age of iron is so highly valued, was obtained in that fortunate era without any effort, but because then those who lived in it ignored these two words of yours and mine. In that holy age all things were common. No one needed to undertake any other work to obtain his daily sustenance than to reach out and reach for it from the strong oaks, which were generously inviting them with their sweet and ripe fruit. The clear springs and running rivers, in magnificent abundance, offered them tasty and transparent waters. In the cracks of the rocks and in the hollows of the trees, the solicitous and discreet bees formed their republic, offering to any hand, without any interest, the fertile harvest of their sweetest work. The brave cork oaks gave off, without any other artifice than that of their courtesy, their wide and light bark, with which houses began to be covered, supported by rustic stakes, only for protection from the inclemency of the weather. All was peace then, all friendship, all concord. The heavy plowshare had not yet dared to open or visit the pious entrails of our first mother, who, without being forced, offered from all parts of her fertile and spacious bosom everything that could satisfy, sustain, and delight the children who then possessed her. Then, indeed, the simple and beautiful girls went from valley to valley and from hill to hill, braided and braided, with no more clothing than those that were necessary to honestly cover what honesty wants and has always wanted to be covered, and their adornments were not those that are used now, for whom the purple of Tyre and the so-called martyred silk make them expensive, but a few green leaves of burdock and ivy woven together, with which perhaps they went as pompous and composed as our courtesans now go with the strange and strange inventions that idle curiosity has shown them. Then the loving concepts of the soul were decorated, recited by heart, simply and simply in the same way and manner that she conceived them, without seeking artificial detours of words to exalt them. There was no fraud, deceit or malice mixed with truth and simplicity. Justice was on its own terms, without daring to disturb or offend those of favor and those of interest, who now so undermine, disturb and persecute it. The law of lace had not yet been established in the understanding of the judge, because then there was no need to judge, nor who was judged. The maidens and honesty went, as I have said, everywhere, alone and mistress, without fear that the foreign looseness and lascivious intention would undermine her, and her downfall was born of her own taste and will. And now, in these our detestable centuries, no one is safe, even if another new labyrinth, like that of Crete, hides and closes her, because there, through the cracks or through the air, with the zeal of their cursed concern, the loving pestilence enters them and makes them throw all their contemplation into ruin. For whose safety, as time went on and malice grew, the order of knights errant was instituted, to defend maidens, protect widows and help orphans and the needy. Miguel de Cervantes, Don Quixote de la Mancha, First Part. Edition, study and notes by Juan Bautista to Avl, Ars. Editorial Alhambra. Madrid, 1979, pages 153, 154, 155. The Goatherds and Discourse of the Golden Age. Last, headline, brief epilogue. Success is a banality. An absolute banality. Orson Welles. I confess, dear reader, that at times all this seemed like a dream to me too. But for three specific reasons it is not so. The first is, I know and many should know, that all those blessings that they explained are, have been and continue to be within the reach of the inhabitants of the earth. All without exception. It would be enough to seriously propose it. The other reason is that most of the data that I provide, only the message is very different from the previous ones, precisely because of its very justified overtones of an ultimatum, had been previously provided by other inhabitants of the earth who, directly or indirectly, have had contact with them. I have been able to verify this as, in order to document myself on the subject, I read the most serious testimonies endorsed by the most authoritative specialists in the matter. The other reason, which I have already pointed out, but which I will repeat once more, is that I, since July 19, 1936, have not dreamed again, neither asleep nor awake. And curiously, and this is no coincidence, those with whom I have coincided most have been two of our compatriots, a Catalan and a Canarian, whose testimonies appear in these pages. I am not trying to coin any predestiny with this regarding the Iberian peoples in the future, and perhaps not so distant, affairs of the universe. But there is history, our history, to show that if sometimes the children of the bull's skin have been reproached for speaking loudly, we could have answered. We speak loudly because we can. But no, the one who gave the best answer, in 1942, from his Mexican exile, was the poet Luitilda Cube Dane Felipe. However, the Spaniard does not speak loudly. I have already said it. I will repeat it again. The Spanish speak from the exact level of man, and whoever thinks that he speaks loudly is because he listens from the bottom of a well. That is, from the sewers of history. We sincerely hope, thinking of those of our compatriots who cover their ears, or close their mouths, it makes no difference, so as not to hear the signals that reach us from the cosmos, that their attitude is not due to the fact that they live, that they are diving, and even reveling, in the most pestilent sewers of the planet Earth. Corrections. In this adaptation of the book by Eduardo Ponsprits, various modifications have been made to the structure of the book, as well as the updating of words accepted today by the RAE. The appendices have been unified into three parts that are found at the end of the digital edition, being noted in the book for immediate access through hyperlinks. The same structure has been used for the appendices. Certain pages with photographs and notes have been moved to the end of their respective chapters to make reading more pleasant. The index of names has been added as in the printed edition, but omitting the page number. In the digital format it is completely dispensable. Words replaced. Igla for Igla tilde superscripto. September for September. The letter M in relation to the unit of measurement has been replaced by meters. End of book extracts, as Google, translated, from Mensa de Otros Mundos, L. Taper Blanda, Eduardo Ponsprits. Remark: this translation attempt is non-professional, only for personal use. Link to TXT version of the Spanish which is out of print, in the audio folder of this.